It's time, a personal decision this morning. It's time to surrender all of me to all of Him. But you don't understand, Pastor Joe. I want God on my terms. I want God to bless me, but I don't want that side of it. And so what we end up doing is we end up looking at the Bible and we end up taking God and we said, I want that part of God. I want His love side and I want that part of God. But you know, when I look at that part of Scripture, I don't really like that. And so what we do is we begin to pick and to choose. We begin to cut and to paste. See, I used to look at the nation of Israel and say, boy, they have the God of the universe right there, pillar of fire, cloud by day. They have Him in front of them, and they keep going back to these stupid gold idols. And you know what I think of when I read that? Man, they're such idiots. But you know what? We do the same thing. When you start cutting and pasting and picking and choosing the kind of God you are, you're not forming a God with your hand. You're forming a God with your mind. And at the end of the day, it's still idolatry. It's time for you and I to surrender all of us to all of Him. But we want everything that God has for us without giving anything up. Because at the end of the day, here's why we don't go all in. We're afraid of missing out. Well, if I go all in, then I'll miss out on that, or this dream that I've always had won't come true. And I just say it to you over and over, and you hear me say this all the time. Listen, the best decision that you can make is to give all to Him. Because when you give all to Him, you get all of Him. You don't miss out. The adventure has just begun. So here's the question this morning. What keeps us from going all in? Well, I want to look at someone. The Bible is full of people with all-in moments. And this morning, I want to look at one man's all-in moment. Actually, it turns out that all 12 disciples had an all-in moment, but one took full advantage. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 14 this morning. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at this story. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've probably heard this story before. But notice what it says in Matthew 14, verse 22. And it says, in straightway... That word straightway literally means immediately. So immediately after the story before. You know what the story before this was? It was the feeding of the 5,000. And you all know that. There's this kid brings 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they're like, there's not enough to feed anybody, and there's no McDonald's, there's no In-N-Out Burger, there's nothing else. What are we going to do? They're like, well, let's send them all home and tell them to come back. And Jesus is like, no, just have them sit down. And he starts, takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feeds 5,000 men besides women and children. So when you add that up, it's probably at least 20,000 people. So can you imagine the way the disciples are feeling? They're the ones walking to Jesus, and they see, and they know that there was only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they see this. Do you imagine what they felt after that? We can do anything. We can go anywhere. Woo-hoo! They were on top of the mountain, literally. They were like, yes. And then, you ever have those moments where you think, oh, I finally got it all figured out. And then, after a victory, comes a storm. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship. He says, now you all go on. I'm going to stay back here. I'll meet you on the other side. And he says to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he's sending the people away, and he gets the guys on a boat. Look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He's getting away. He's going to go get alone with him and his Father. He's going to get refilled. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Ever feel like things are contrary in your life? Like everything you do seems to go the opposite way? So they're in a storm. And listen, for Peter, when Jesus says, hey, y'all get into a boat, and he says all the disciples get in a boat, well, they don't worry about this because Peter and Andrew and James and John, they're all fishermen. This is what they've been doing their whole life. They know the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They've been doing it all of their life. But this storm, this specific storm, was not good. In fact, it was one that storms, when they rose up, was so bad that they just weren't really concerned about where they ended up. They just wanted to make sure that they were alive. The wind was contrary. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch, if you ever study that, when you see the fourth watch, that's literally 3 a.m., between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. By the fourth watch, they've been going. At the end of this, they go and it's daylight. So they've been going at this all night. This wind, this storm is just wrecking their lives. And it's been a long night. And Jesus goes to meet them in the sea, doing something that seemingly only Jesus could do. Then look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Notice this, saying, "It." Now, it is a spirit. Now, if you've ever watched any Scooby-Doo episodes, you can almost hear them right now. Ghost! Right? And he saw the disciples walking on the sea, they're troubled by it, and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out with fear. I don't know if it's in the zoinks, you know, right? Just kind of get out of there, you know, exit stage left. And Scooby's right behind them. They're like, this is not good. It's a ghost. And they're freaking out. They're crying out in fear. They don't realize it's Jesus. You know why they don't realize it's Jesus? Because they're not looking for Jesus. Sometimes in a storm, we have trouble seeing Jesus because our eyes are on the storm. Our eyes are on our fear. Our focus is on our fear and not seeing things through the eyes of faith. You see, what we can learn from this verse right here is if you're not looking for him, you just might miss him. It's not that he's not there. It's we're not looking for him. Because all we see is the storm. All we see is the bad circumstances. All we see is the sadness. All we see is the bad. Then look at verse 27. But straightway, once again, immediately. So here it is. It's a ghost. Then immediately Jesus, I love that, immediately he spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. Don't worry, be happy. It is I." Don't be afraid. I got you. That's what Jesus is saying. You don't need to worry. Never fear. Jesus is here. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him. If you read the Bible any amount of time, you just always know that Peter's going to answer something, somebody. He doesn't even know exactly what to say a lot of times, and he still talks. But we're not going to pick on Peter today. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it's you, Lord, then bid me or command me to come unto thee on the water." So Peter comes to this realization and said, "Lord, if it's really you, I see you walking on water, I want to do that too." All right, so here's what you need to do. Before Peter gets out, because Peter's thinking, Jesus is over there. So Peter has got in this mind that he can do it too. But instead of being stupid, he says, "You know what? I better make sure that God's in on this before I do that. Because if I go out there without him calling me to do that, I'm in trouble." You know, there's a lot of things that we can do to step out in faith, but we want to make sure that God's behind it every time. Look at this. This is so great. Look at verse 29. And he said, "Come." Like, come on, Peter. Come on. This is where we have to stop for a second, because right now, we're all kind of like up in the sky looking down, and we see the boat, and we see the people, and we see Jesus. But I want you to stop this view, and I want you to go get in the boat. Put yourself there for a moment. Would your response be, "Hey, Jesus, can I come out there too?" I can tell you that wouldn't be my response. Right about now, I'd be looking for my second dose of Dramamine. I get seasick looking at water. So we're there, either up and down, they're going crazy. And listen, can I just be honest with you? I wouldn't be looking to get into the water. I'm just trying to keep the water out of the boat. So here he is, and he says, "Peter, come on, buddy." Notice the next part of this verse. "And when Peter was come down out of the ship," what did that look like? Was there, I picture a door, and he opens the door, and he's kind of like, and you know, the disciples are back there going, "Is he really doing this?" And can you see him? He's right there on the edge, and he's looking, and he's like, Now, I remember at times, because I grew up in church, every summer when I was a kid, I remembered this story right at the pool. And so I said, "I wonder if you can really walk on water." So, you know, you step out there and you try to walk on water. Next thing you know, you're touching the bottom of the pool. So I wonder if Peter's thinking this. Okay. And then I picture that first step. Okay, the first step is good, because maybe there was something there and he's still got his hands there. He's still got a foot there. But then he's got the first step in there and he can still go back if he wants. But then all of a sudden he takes that next step. He's all in. The disciples are thinking, "Idiot." But here we're all thinking like, but they're like what we all like to do. "Boy, we sure wouldn't mind seeing somebody sink. Is he really going to sink? What's Jesus going to do? Because I know nobody walks on water. He's going straight down. There's these waves. We're all hoping to barely make it." And Peter decides he wants to walk on water. And it says, "And Peter came down out of the ship," and then notice what happens. He walked on the water. Come on, we've heard this story before. So stop. Think. No pun intended, but let that sink in. He walked on water. Not frozen water, not some joke, not some play on words, not some way of some magician fooling us and getting us to look at one way and not see the other thing. He literally walked on water. This, at his all-in moment, he goes all in, and when he takes that second foot out of the ship, he's now completely abandoned to God's power in his life. And God's power shows up. And notice this, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And for a few moments, it's just Jesus and Peter. All Peter can see is Jesus. But then look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, this is what he thought. "What was I thinking? What was I thinking?" This is where Peter's problem went from bad to worse. He shifted his focus from his Savior to the storm. And boy, every time a storm gets bad and every time it gets worse than even what we thought it was going to get, what ends up happening is this. When we shift our focus off of our Savior, when we shift our focus off of Jesus in any storm, that's when we're going to sink. Look at verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." Yeah. "And beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, help! Save me!'" He began to sink. Let me ask you a question. Did Peter fail Did Peter fail? In a way, yes. His doubts became bigger than his faith. And who among us does our doubts not become bigger than our faith? But can I tell you something this morning? There were 11 bigger failures in the boat. You see, the worst failure in life is not sinking. Did you know that? It's never getting out of the boat. The worst failure that you face in life is not sinking, but it's never getting out of the boat. And here's a false assumption. I never saw it until I studied for this sermon. The false assumption that a lot of us make are the same assumption that the disciples were making. We make the assumption that it's safer in the boat. Well, I got to stay in my comfort zone. I got to stay in the boat. I got to stay where it feels good. But you know where the safest place on earth is? With Jesus. It's not safer in the boat. So get the boat out of your mind. It's not better. It's not safer. They without Jesus, they're going to die in the boat. They're going to sink in the storm. But we all make an assumption that it's safer in the boat. But look at verse 31. I love this. I guess in all the years that I read this story and studied this story, I never put this together. Maybe you have, but I haven't. So I'm going to share it was like amazing. And immediately, he steps out of the boat. He's walking on water, him and Jesus. And then all of a sudden, whoa, bloop, bloop, bloop. Lord, save me. Jesus doesn't go, well, how you like that? He's not going. See, I always figured Jesus was disappointed in him. But that's not what this says. Jesus is not looking at Peter going, what are you thinking, Peter? Peter, oh, come on, Peter. No, no, no. Lord, save me. Do you see what it says? And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And then I guess in my mind, in the way that I don't think everybody told it, but in my mind, I kind of envisioned them going back to the boat and Jesus kind of making a public example of Peter. Oh, Peter, if you'd had more faith, why do you doubt me, Peter? But that's not what he did. While he's in the water, before they ever make their way back to the boat, Jesus didn't make a public example of Peter. What Jesus does is in that moment is he teaches Peter something. This isn't God going, Peter, what were you thinking? This is Peter, learn from this. As he picks him up and says, oh, thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? How does Matthew know to write this? Because Peter shared it with him. Not because Matthew heard it. Because Peter shared it with him. And as soon as Peter asks for help, Jesus is there. Jesus teaches him. And then they go back to the boat. But you know, how did they get back to the boat? Picked him up, and as long as Jesus was with Peter, Peter walked on water back to the boat. Then look at this. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. It was like, whew. They're like, oh. Then look at verse 33. Hopefully would be our response. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They worshipped him. You see, Even when you blow it, even when you fail, even when you make a mistake, even when you have no faith, when Jesus comes back into your life and he teaches you things, you know what our response is? You know what he wants from us? He wants worship. See, a lot of us think, well, I need to stay away from God for a while. He's unhappy with me. He's upset with me. No. When we realize what we've done wrong, when we've run from him, when we not trusted in him, the best thing you can do is worship. So here's the question. What keeps us from going all in? Because the truth is, many of us are not like Peter. Many of us are like the other 11. What keeps us from going on? Let me ask you it in this way this morning. What's your boat? What's your boat? What is it that keeps you from going all in? What is that safety net, that boat that keeps you from taking the step in? Let me give you three things that I think that keep us from going all in, and then we're done. Number one, the first one is fear. It's fear. You know what the great thing about fear is? Fear will always tell you what your boat is. Fear will always tell you what your boat is. What produces fear when you think of leaving it behind, when you think of stepping out in faith, what is your biggest fear? And when you understand that and you see that clearly, you now identified your boat. You say, well, what's my boat? The boat is the thing in your life that's keeping God's best from your life. Could be a job. Well, I'm comfortable. I'm safe. I like it there. I have seniority. Could be a relationship. Well, I have that, or well, I've got to get them that. You know, I've seen so many different relationships become God. I've seen people make their spouse a God. I've seen people make their children a God. God clearly tells them to do something, but they have to take their children into account. First, I've seen people make their parents a God. I've seen people make their friendships a God. What's your boat? For some of us, it's a secret. I'll go all in with God, but that can never be known. If that comes out, it will destroy me. If that comes out, it will not be good. Fear. Because of a secret. For some of us, it's success, the way that we view success. Leaving the boat, let's just be honest, it's going to be the hardest thing that you will ever do. But if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. You will never experience God's best. You will never experience God's power until you're like Peter, like, okay. Well, I can still hold on to this. No. You got to take the plunge. You got to go all in. One is fear. The second one is comfort. You know what going all in comes with? A constant battle with fear. Do you know why we like our comfort zones? In our comfort zones, we don't have to battle fear. When you choose to go all in, here's what you're saying. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be battling fear because God is going to be stretching me constantly. But you know what I found in my life? Fear and growth always go together. You don't grow without wondering, a little anxious about what's next. And deciding to go all in is a choice between risk and comfort. You know, it's funny, thinking about the disciples in the boat. I think a lot of times the disciples just like watching Peter. The disciples liked watching. But you know what the disciples didn't do? Anything. They didn't do anything. In our world, we call them couch potatoes. In this story, they're boat potatoes. In church world, they're called pew potatoes. I want to come and I want to laugh and I want to enjoy the music and I want to enjoy the word, but don't ask me to do anything. You see, we like to pick on Peter in the story, but the truth of the matter is the disciples didn't do anything. And the fact is, we're not more like Peter. We're more like the disciples. Are you willing for God to stretch your comfort zone? Yeah, I'll choose this, but leave that out, Lord. Don't do that. You can't have that. You know what God's going to do in our lives this year? When we go all in, he's going to show us areas where we are comfortable, and he's going to say, let me enlarge that in your life. You're like, I don't know. But when you do, you'll be glad you did. At the end of this year, when we see God do great and amazing things, it will be because people were willing to step out of their comfort zone. But there's some of you, there's some of us in here, we're going to come along and God's going to cause us to step a little further than we want. And we're going to say, I'm kind of scared. No, I can't do that. I'm too busy. I got this going on. I can't do that. And you're going to miss out. Because the truth is, that fear of missing out, you only miss out when you don't go all in. There's comfort, there's fear, but look at the third one, comparison. Peter's problem, he walked on water when he was focused on Jesus. He sank when he wasn't focused on Jesus. His problem was focus. Peter risks failure. He risks failure, and as a result, this story helps him to grow. You see, we don't want to fail. But you know what we don't want to do more than we don't want to fail? We don't want others to see us fail. Because that would be embarrassing. That would make me look bad. That would make me look dumb. That would make me look ignorant. And the truth of the matter is, the reason we don't go all in is because we care too much about what other people think. When you put yourself in a position to fail, you then put yourself in a position to grow. Failure doesn't shape you. Did you know that? Failure doesn't shape you. How you respond to failure shapes you. So don't you dare compare. Instead, this is what we should do. Try, fail, learn, grow, repeat until you don't fail. Try, fail, learn, grow, repeat. Try, fail, learn, grow, repeat. Try, fail, learn, grow, repeat. And you'll come to a place where you won't fail. We got to get out of the boat, y'all. Why? Because that's where Jesus is. You can trust him. And even if you fail, you know what he's going to do? He's going to be right there to pick you back up. But every once in a while, you'll walk on water. 100 years ago, there were people known as one-way missionaries. And instead of packing their belongings in a suitcase, what they did is they bought a one-way ticket to where they were going, and they packed all of their belongings in a coffin. And by packing all the things in a coffin, they were basically, when they said goodbye to their friends and their family before they got on that boat, they knew they would never see them again this side of heaven. One of those men was the name of A.W. Milne. And he sailed to an island on the South Pacific where every missionary had attempted to go before him on this specific island were killed by the headhunters that lived there. But he began to get there and he loved them and he cared for them and he shared the love of Jesus with them. And everyone on that island trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then one day when he was buried, and he was placed in that coffin that he brought with him. He was buried in the middle of the city. And on the tombstone, they wrote this. When he came, there was no light. And when he left, there was no darkness. Can we all just agree that it's time to quit living as if our purpose is to arrive safely at death. It's time to push all the chips to the middle of the table of our life. It's time to go all in with the all in all. But I like my boat. I'm comfortable in my boat. I have my easy chair. God's going to try to stretch us this year. But you have to understand that it's outside of the boat is where Jesus is. And he says, come on. But every once in a while, if you'll get out of the boat, oh, you may not get it perfectly. But in the process of learning to trust him, every once in a while, you're going to walk on water. And when people look back and say, wow, what a God. And in response, they will worship him. Folks, this morning for us individually, it's time to go all in with the all in all.